Curious. You would make an excellent Cephalon, Tenno.
Welcome to Cephalon Squared, a Warframe community and podcast. Find out how to join the collective by heading over to our website at cephalonsquared.com. Now, here are your Cephalons, Greg and Lucas.
G'day, Cephalon Collective, and welcome to episode 61 of Cephalon Squared. Again, I'm your host, Cephalon Greg, joined by other host, Cephalon Lucas. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm doing good. It's good. Things are good.
It's good, except for the fact that we are recording this for a second time because one of us is an idiot. I'll leave that up to the listeners to figure out which one. We only recorded about 10 minutes or so, 13, 14 minutes, so it wasn't too bad, but still it's annoying. Anyway, that's us just being frustrated with me being an idiot. how's the weather up in Ipswich?
The weather up in Ipswich, it's currently 18 degrees Celsius with a 63% humidity.
This is very true, and that is 18 degrees, 64 degrees Fahrenheit. Down here in Melbourne Town, 15 degrees Celsius, 59 degrees Fahrenheit, and 89% humidity. In fact, it is actually raining.
And again, like I said to you earlier, I am jealous.
Mm-hmm, indeed. Actually, it's been welcome because it hasn't rained terribly much recently from memory. I can't even remember, to be honest. My brain is just no good when I think back on the days. Has it been raining? I don't know. The good thing is I was supposed to mow the lawn this weekend and now I don't have to, and my wife's giving me a nasty side eye. But me, on the inside, I'm like, yes!
Jumping up and down with joy.
Indeed, doing backflips. What'd you get up to in Warframe or gaming in general?
Oh, in Warframe we did our usual Friday night and Saturday night streaming.
We did.
That was a lot of fun. I actually did a little bit more streaming today for, I think, just over 3 hours.
Nice.
And earlier on the week, I played the demo for Code Vein. Damn. I need.
You should get.
I think I will. I just don't know if it's going to be PlayStation or PC. Dilemmas.
Mm-hmm. Either way, you will have a wonderful time.
Yes. Yes. Much wonder to be had.
It is very good, actually. I played the demo as well. And really enjoyed it. In fact, I'm thinking maybe I enjoyed it more than Remnant.
Yeah, I'm kind of feeling that.
It's hard to say because the demo is a lot shorter, but yeah. I think it's just the
style.
Yeah, and the content matter. So it's about vampires this time. It's a bit anime. So it's right up our nerdy alleys. Yeah.
It's basically anime Dark Souls.
Yeah. Nothing wrong with that.
No.
And it's well done as well. So
yeah.
Looking forward to that. We didn't do Smite Night on Monday because I had a review to do. So I was playing Greedfall over the last couple of weeks. Greedfall is a really good game, but the review was due Tuesday morning last week, and I was feverishly writing up my article and editing and doing all that stuff. So apologies to anyone who wanted to tune in for Smite Night, but we will be doing it briefly tomorrow. I do have to take a interstate trip this week, but I do want to get into some Smite tomorrow, because otherwise I'll miss it. It's fun.
Yeah.
I'm nodding.
Yeah.
Plus, of course, Borderlands 3. I'm really enjoying it. If you like Borderlands, you'll probably enjoy it too. If you don't like Borderlands, then it's up to you. I didn't like Borderlands 1 or 2, but I'm really loving 3, so go figure. It's the same thing as all the others too.
Fair enough.
All right. It's a busy one today. We've got a fairly long interview with Raven from our Discord. We've all had a go at the early game again, so we decided to have a bit of a chat about what that's like. It's an interesting discussion. We're going to hold myriad of topics, so recommend you listen for that one. Of course, we've got our beginner and advanced topics. We'll get to those later. So I guess we should just crack on into the news. What do you think, Lucas?
Let's do it.
Let's. Okay, I'm going to start this time.
Alright.
The renowned Pack 17 is out on PS4. This comes with an Obsidian Cyandana and an Obsidian Ephemera. Plus, it comes with a 3-day Affinity Booster, a 3-day Credit Booster, and Platinum. Sounds cool to me.
Nice. While on the Switch, we have the Steam Pack 3, which comes with the Mag Opal Skin, the Corinth Opal Skin, plus Corinth, a 3-day Affinity, and a 3-day Credit Booster with Platinum. Now, a free Corinth. Holy damn, lucky. Wow.
Well, free in inverted commas, because you do have to pay for these things.
Yeah.
Yeah, but they're pretty cheap, those booster packs.
They are. They really are. Good content in them.
Agreed, especially with Corinth.
Mm. Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Alrighty, and also on console news, the Saint of Ultra update has finally been sent into certification for all console platforms. So I would expect it within the next couple of days, depending on when you're listening. So get excited for Gauss.
And next up, there was a topic thrown out onto the Warframe forums for new changes coming to arbitrations. Arbitrations are expected to get their duration, prize durations dropped down. So instead of having to do 10 waves or 10 minutes, they're going to be dropped down to the normal 5 minutes, 5 waves. The endo rewards for these will be dropped by 25%. So in the long run, it's worth more endo. There's going to be 10 new items added to the drop table, 5 of which are going to be Aura Formers, and the other 5 will be new Warframe Arcanes. Lots of interesting goodies to be seen. In addition, the Arbitration Drones will now have a chance at dropping Vitus Essence, and because of this, the Vitus Essence requirements in the Arbitration Store will jump up in price. So, yeah, changes.
Changes. But they do sound like some interesting changes. The new auras actually look really different. They've got some different ideas.
They do.
Yeah, so looking forward to seeing how all that goes. Now, of course, this is a work in progress. It may or may not change. I doubt it'll change much. But as I was saying to Lucas when we were discussing this the other day on stream, I'm not 100% sure how long this will bring people back to arbitrations. We'll see, I guess.
Yeah, this is true. What was it? Tack Potato was saying that he thinks most of the rewards that they're adding in are kind of gimmicky and won't really be worth getting, in his opinion. So we'll only wait and see.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty of people out there who are completionists who want to collect everything, but I think they're in the vast minority. Plus, there's no way of ticking off which mods you do and don't have.
Yeah, there is.
Is there?
Yeah.
How?
Check out the mods in your codex.
Oh, of course.
It's actually a checklist.
Yeah, see, shows how many times I've looked at that. I think it was once when I first started the game and I've never looked back since. Fair enough. Okay, completionists, maybe. Other people, maybe not. We'll see, once we've got more concrete details. Anyway, the DE team went to, not the whole team, but some people from the team, went to Tokyo for Tokyo Game Show and also to celebrate Tenno VIP with their Japanese fans. Now, this is just a bit of a excuse to get together, have a few drinks, talk to the devs. But this time around, they also showed off a marketing reel, and this video that they showed was essentially an advertisement for Empyrean, very, very heavily on the marketing front, which suggests to me that maybe things are starting to get long in the tooth for Empyrean. Maybe we'll see it sooner rather than later. Who knows? It was a very well-polished video. But at the end of that video, they also shared some stuff that hasn't been shared anywhere else, and that is the upcoming Prime Access. So they showed off Atlas Prime with what looks like Techo Prime, which are the fist blades, I guess, and Death Cube Prime, which is really interesting. We've been asking for another Prime Sentinel for quite a while, and Death Cube is one that people like because he has a cool name. So I'm looking forward to that. What do you think, Lucas?
I'm interested in Death Cube Prime, and that's pretty much it.
Yeah, even though I used to really like Atlas, not as interested in him as I used to be, sadly, because I do know that he's just okay and not really useful in any way. I just want to like him. I want to love him. But still, I'm kind of looking forward to it. We'll see how it comes. We really need more information because the only video you can see at the moment is very blurry.
Yeah. Prime Bacon is on its way.
It is. Very soon, too, because when I saw that, I decided to go look up when Wukong Prime was released, and he came out on July 6th, I think it was, which is the day of TennoCon. So 3 months from there is October 6th. So that's soon.
Yeah, not long away at all.
Did not realize it. Anyway, did you want to read out our Prime Vault winner?
I'll let you do that one, because I want to do the other one.
Okay, yeah, no worries. So, you may have noticed, if you've been looking at our socials over the last few weeks, we've had a few competitions, and one of them has been for the Prime Vault. And we do have a winner, so drum roll, please. That was quite the drum roll. Wade Mills. Wade Mills, you have won the Prime Vault, so I will get in contact with you via email to gather the information. So, of course, I'll need your platform and your in-game name so that I can pass that on to DE and they will assign it to your account. So thank you to everyone that entered the competition. We did have quite a few entries, so thank you to all. Sorry if you were not the winner, but congratulations to Wade.
Yay, congratulations.
Next one. Now you can do it.
And the last piece of news is Captura Calendar Contest. We've so far had a lot of great entries, but there is still 1 week left. So if you have not given us your Captura to have a running as an entry for our upcoming 2020 calendar, then you got a week for this contest. The contest, shit, I can't even brain.
It's the contest is for capture image of motion. So all you have to do is capture motion. Something that is moving and send it to us in any way you can get in contact with us. Remember, the easiest way, if you don't know any other way, is cephalonsquared@gmail.com. Otherwise, there's Facebook, Discord, Twitter, all of those wonderful places. Send us your image. One image per person. If you send us more than one, we will only accept the first. Were there any other rules?
No, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, September 22nd is the due date, Australian time, so keep that in mind. That might be September 21st.
21st for Americans.
For Americans, or September 22nd in the early morning.
Yeah.
Because we want to make the announcement on that next episode. So I do want to say, though, we do have a lot of really, really good entries. That's not to say that you shouldn't enter, but...
Enter. Give us more.
Yeah. Definitely enter. Please enter. It's just going to be tough to decide. It's really high quality. So get them in. Get them in.
Do the thing.
Indeed. You'll win 300 platinum. That's probably important. There'll be three winners too, so there's a good chance of winning.
And those three winners will be the first to be put on the list for our calendar.
Exactly. We will be creating a calendar towards the end of the year, and those images will be going in, and of course, entry in the competition implies that you're happy for us to do so. We will be crediting you in the calendar, of course.
Yay!
All right. Now, like I said at the start, we do have an interview this week, or a discussion. It's more of a discussion. And we invited one of our Discorders in, and that is RavenX99. And we have a good old chat. So rather than discussing it again, let's just play it. But I did want to say one thing that I forgot to say to Raven when we had him. Raven has been a very strong supporter of us since the beginning, really. And I just want to say thank you to Raven. And of course, I will say this to him privately as well. But, you know, hopefully this is a little bit of a surprise for him when he listens to the podcast. But I did want to say thank you, and it bloody slipped my mind when we were recording because it was midnight. So apologies. But thank you to Raven for all your support over the last however many months.
Thanks, Raven.
On to the interview. Alrighty, today we have Raven from our Discord, or RavenX99, I should say, from our Discord, who has joined us to talk about the early game. So Lucas and I, as you may well know, have started replaying the game. Oh God, I started playing on Switch, I started playing on PSC, I started playing again on Xbox. All of that was a long time ago. But since we both got new PCs, Lucas and I have both smashed through our PC accounts fairly recently, and Raven recently decided that he wanted to look at the early game himself just to see what it's like for a new player joining the game. So we thought it might be a good discussion around what the game is like for new players and whether or not, you know, what we think is good, what we think is bad, etc. So say hello, Raven.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for joining us. No, thank you.
Welcome to the show.
So how long now have you, since you started your little experiment?
A little over a week.
Is that all? It feels like longer.
It does. It does. I actually have a spreadsheet. And if you know me on the Discord, you know I'm famous for my spreadsheets. I started on the 5th. And today is the 14th, so 9 days.
See, that's what we love about you. If there's anyone in our Discord who's absolutely regimented and absolutely has everything recorded, maybe that's a good or a bad thing. it's definitely Raven. So 9 days in, and how far are you now?
I just finished the Natah quest, so I'm MR4, and I've cleared most of the early planets, but I kind of blew through the last two, you know, Jupiter, Saturn, to get to where I could start Natah.
So now you're Uranus or Neptune?
Uranus.
Okay, yeah, because you've got to do the scans and...
The scans. Boy, it got tough at that stage.
Yeah, I found the game gets really tough around Saturn. Actually, it's, you know, that's part of what we're here to talk about. So we took really different approaches. I, on Xbox and PC, started playing the game and just sort of played it here and there very casually. Lucas, when he started his PC account, wanted to get through it as fast as possible.
Yes.
And you've taken a different approach. So I'll let Lucas sort of briefly go over how he approached the beginner, and then we'll pass over to yourself again. So, Lucas, go for it.
Very brief. I went in a straight line, straight through every single planet I could, as quick as I could. Didn't stop to pick up new weapons, new frames, or anything. Just went in a straight line.
So, how many weapons do you have now, Lucas?
I think I've got like 3 secondaries, maybe 5 primaries, and 4 melees.
That's funny. It's actually pretty similar on my account. I've got maybe 5 secondaries, 5 or 6 primaries, but I've got a shitload of melee, probably 10 to 15. Don't know why. Just do. All right, so you smashed through it. How much carrying did you utilize?
Very little, actually.
Really?
Yeah. Most of it was just solo play. There was a couple of times I think I needed... Kuva or something for something along the line. So I got one of the guys to give me a lift to a Kuvival, and that was pretty much the only carrying I took. Everything else was just solo straight through.
Surprising, because you smashed through it really quickly.
I did. It was 36 hours to get to the end of the star chart.
Damn.
Wow.
I guess it's good knowing what you're doing.
Yeah.
So what's your approach, Raven?
So part of what I was doing here was trying to play through the game the way a new player would approach it, except knowing how to do everything.
Mm.
And so, you know, I cleared all of Earth, and then I cleared, gosh, I've already forgotten what the next planet is.
Venus,
and
Mercury.
So I've taken a slightly slower approach to it. One of my goals is I don't want to get taxied. I don't want to get carried. But, oh, that early grind is so hard.
It is.
It takes so long to rank up those Mark I weapons. And
yes, it does.
So it's been an interesting experience because, you know, my first thought is, What's the first weapons that players run into? You know, because you get a free Boltor after clearing one of the early junctions. And I played with the Boltor a lot on my early account. And I went straight for the Carrick this time because the Carrick, I really like the assault rifle style of play.
Mm-hmm.
And the Carrick is an MR1 weapon. And it costs 60,000 credits to craft. That kind of thing. So... and that's what I've been playing with since. I only own 4 weapons, not counting the ones in my foundry. I've got a
damn still
6 or 7 in the foundry that I just, you know, I haven't had time to rank up. So yeah, it's been definitely a little slower. I didn't do it in 36 hours, that's for sure. So I'm trying to figure out how you did that.
Well, I haven't completed every single node, so it's just been straight through, just doing all the story missions, all the quest lines, the story main quest lines, and yeah, just getting up to date with the story content, essentially.
Right. Right. And that's a lot of why I wanted to do this. I have lots of little reasons I did this. And one of them is I just want to play through all the quests again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As if it were a beginning player. But one of the things that really triggered it was somebody on Reddit was saying that their son rage quit the game on Earth because he got out of Vore's prize and he said it pushed him into the planes. And everybody on Reddit saying, oh, you don't go to the planes when you're MR1, you know, or MR2 or whatever. It's like, that's later game content. You're there way too early. And I thought,
but
what does the game do at that stage? And I realized that, so I went back and I played it. And when you get out of Vore's prize, you have two nodes available to you. One is Lith and the other is Cetus. And Lith is a 9 to 11 level mission at that stage. And it's like you're MR1. You've got unranked weapons. You're not going to go to a level 9 mission. You can't do that. So it really pushes you to go into Cetus. You get a starter bounty that's level 1 to 3. And that starter bounty is easy. But I found when you come back out of there, Lith has dropped back to a lower level. It's not 9 to 11 anymore.
Huh.
Interesting.
So they clearly set that up as a barrier to push you into Cetus, which all the old timers are saying, no, you're not pushed into Cetus, go do something else. But that's exactly what the game did.
I was going to say, the other thing is you are really pushed into Cetus because that's the only way to open the next node to progress through Earth.
Right. That's the gateway to half of Earth is going through the planes. But I think they really expect you to go do that starter bounty, maybe do Saya's Vigil, and then move on. Because then they get the missions get a lot tougher on the planes after that first starter bounty.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Shit.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And that's the thing. And the other problem with when you end up on the Plains of Eidolon, and this is something I noticed in my several replays through, is once you've done that initial bounty that takes no effort and doesn't take very long at all, it puts you back into Cetus. I think if you did that initial bounty and it puts you back into navigation, it might be clearer that you don't have to keep going back into Cetus and now you've unlocked the next node in the star chart. But because it pops you back into Cetus, I think people are like, oh, okay, so what do I do? And they don't realize
clearly not finished here. Yeah.
You know, one option is to just leave and go back to the navigation. You know, they end up walking around, and maybe they do Saya's Vigil. Do people need to do Saya's Vigil that early? I don't necessarily think so, because to get Gaara's blueprints, you've really got to be doing some of those higher level bounties. So I just don't.
Right.
Yeah, I really think the game. It's okay to go to the Plains of Eidolon and do that bounty early. But it'd be nice if the game explained that you don't have to stay there.
Right, right. And that's kind of the other thing I've been exploring is where does the game really leave you hanging? What does it not tell you how to do? And some of the gaps are kind of surprising.
What have you found?
When I get to Natah, it introduces Teshin. And you could go talk to Teshin way early in the game, you know, go to Conclave. But if you never notice Conclave, if you just ignore that console, you never meet him. And then all of a sudden, he's this character in a quest that acts like you've met him before and you haven't.
I think, to be fair, though, Conclave was probably expected to have been more successful than it was.
Oh, I'm sure. But there's a lot of those little things, like the game never introduces squad restores. You just have to find those in the, either somebody tells you about them or you find them in the market. There are lots of little things like that, that things I wish I had known earlier that make playing the game a lot easier the second time through. You know, knowing that there's an MR1 assault rifle that I can build with materials that I can get from the first two planets. You know, that kind of thing.
Something else I've noticed as well is, you mentioned it already, and that's how long it takes to level things. And it's really because you're fighting against really low-level enemies. And for those that don't know, XP does... What's the word I'm looking for?
Scale.
Scale, thank you. With enemy level. So because you're fighting low-level dudes with a shitty weapon, it just takes absolutely forever.
And if you're doing it solo...
Yeah. Oh
my you know.
God. Yeah. It really I think it's too long, to be honest, because I really think that some of that early game experience is a little bit dull for new players.
Well, see, that's something I was really thinking about, was you start out with these Mark I weapons, which are just crap, and they take a really long time to level up. And then the other thing is that energy is really rare in the early nodes. I went through 4 levels of defense without a single enemy dropping energy.
Jesus.
And I'm thinking, okay, they sold us this power fantasy with magical ninjas in space, but you don't get to use your magic very much. And that feels like, I really feel like that whole early player experience, especially those first couple planets, could be a lot more dynamic, a lot more fun, if they just sped things up a little bit.
Yeah.
I agree. I think they need to speed it up and then slow it down once people start to figure out things. I don't think they need to slow it down to the pace that it is at the start of the game. I think that's too slow. But, you know, I was saying on the podcast the other day that I saw Disco Box was playing Warframe. Well, the truth is I didn't just see him there. I went in and talked to him and tried to help him out a bit and played a mission with him. And he was still using Excalibur. His Excalibur was only rank 8, but he didn't even know he had abilities.
Okay.
And that made me think, and at first I had a laugh because I thought, haha, what a noob. But then I thought, hang on, the game doesn't do a really good job of teaching you about using your abilities. And exactly like you said, Raven, you hardly get energy, because he even said to me, what are those blue things? That's what made me understand that he didn't even know what his energy was. Because he said, what are those blue things? I said, oh, they give you energy for your abilities. And he said, oh, abilities. He said, that's when I press R1, isn't it? And so when you're using a controller, you have to actually toggle your abilities. So you press R1 to toggle the 4 abilities that you can choose from, and then you press a button to choose which ability. And it will always automatically choose the last ability you used if you just hit R1. So he thought he only had one ability. He didn't realize that he could hold it down to press other abilities. And this is something that I thought the game really doesn't teach well, because the most fun about Excalibur, for example, is the fact that he can. He's got his radial javelin, he's got radial blind, he's got slash dash, and he can use all of those abilities. And he never was.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm playing Excal because in my previous one I played Volt, so I wanted to do something different. And he's been kind of my least favorite character, so I figured I needed to learn how to play that frame. And both Radial Blind, Radial Javelin, those are my get-out-of-jail-free cards. When things get tight, those save my butt. And so not having energy early on makes it really hard. And then it sucks when if you're playing solo, you go down, you lose affinity, so you're leveling up even slower. And
yeah.
And so I was kind of trying to figure out, you know, what's an optimal strategy? You know, are we giving the right advice to new players when we tell them how to play?
Mm-hmm.
And definitely, you know, clearing the star chart, doing the quests is a good idea. But leveling up those weapons is just so important. And getting them to where you can fill them full of mods, and then getting the endo and the credits to rank up the mods is it's really such a struggle. And the big thing for me is knowing I can go to a dark sector. Dark sectors are worth 15 to 20 some thousand credits for a 5-minute mission.
Absolutely.
And so I haven't had a credit problem, but endo has still been a real crunch.
Yeah, endo is a problem for everyone, old and new.
Oh yeah, yeah.
What do you think about there's a couple of big problems, but one of the things I was thinking when I was playing through the early game is the early weapons in the game are boring.
Mm-hmm.
all of them, every single one, even the Karak, which you mentioned before, as an auto rifle, is just a straight auto rifle. That's all it is. There's nothing special about it. Personally, I think they need to rework some of those low-level weapons to make them more fun and more interesting and give you them more often.
I think that's why the Boltor was so attractive when I got it, because it's different. It looks cool. It fires bolts instead of bullets. You pin people to walls with it. It's just a lot of fun to play. Exactly. Even if you can't hit anything with it, like me. I think I put 2 Forma into my Boltor before I gave it up. But yeah, it's. I think I agree on one level. I mean, I like the Karak. I loved the Soma. I played with the Soma forever. But it's a pretty boring, generic assault rifle. But yeah, so I think that magical ninjas in space thing would work better if you had more interesting weapons early on.
Hmm. Sorry, what about melee weapons? What are your thoughts on the melee weapons? Because, I mean, even early game, they're not great, but we did just recently get the Amphis, which is one of the earlier melee weapons. Got a bit of a rework, and that now has electrifying ground slam.
Yeah, I just got that blueprint, and I haven't crafted it yet. I'm not a big melee guy. I really like to stand back and shoot things. Which is why I like the assault rifles, the sniper rifles. But I've played with only 2 swords so far because Xcal gets a 10% bonus with swords. And got to get every bonus I can get.
Hell yeah.
And but the early weapons are a little dull. The melee weapons are.
Mm.
And the one thing I will complain about, just as a little aside, the 2 weapons you have to choose from are a sword or a staff, and those are some of the hardest stance mods to get in the early game.
They really are.
I had stances for 6 different weapon types before I finally got a sword, and then the sword doesn't – the polarity doesn't match the weapon I'm using. And I'm like, please. But I did get Vore dropped the Cronus for me, and I don't have the Cronus on my main account yet, and I got it on my all.
Yeah. Well, they changed it probably since you played it the first time, that he's guaranteed to drop it the first time you kill him now.
Oh, is that a guarantee? That's one of the things I'm not really aware of, is what I don't always remember the early game well, so I don't remember what's changed since I started. Since I played it last. And it's just, the Cronus is really no better than the Skana. It's the Skana with a couple numbers shifted around. It does like the same amount of damage, but it does less slash. It does more something else. And it's just slightly faster. I mean, marginally faster. And that's all the difference between the two. So it wasn't a big upgrade. Yeah, I just did it for MR, really. But.
Yeah. That's funny. Because I know Bushy was chasing it for a long time, but yeah, now it's a 100% chance of dropping the first time you kill him, and then like a 5% chance or something every other time.
Wow. Looking at my notes, the something else that drives me crazy, and people talk about this, but we really need innate vacuum. That being a beginning player and needing all of those materials and having to go run over all of them until you get Taxon and the vacuum mod, that is such a pain. And then it encourages you to switch to your Kubro. And you're not going to have the fetch mod because, you have to go to Venus and kill jackals to get the fetch mod. And so you switch to your Kubro and now you're running over stuff to pick it up again.
Yeah, it absolutely does not make sense that it's not innate to the character.
That's right.
It doesn't hurt the economy to do it. It blows my mind.
And it just makes the early game more tedious. The thing I'm running into is opening all the crates is tedious. Having to pick everything up by hand is tedious. And my next goal is to get Carrier, because I need that. I need Carrier to open stuff for me. Of course, I think the mod I need for that is Samaris, and I forget how much it's going to cost me to get that mod from Samaris. But
they're usually about 50,000.
More grinding.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the game is about grinding. I get that. Yeah, so it is. That But I have to say, I'm having a lot of fun. And it's a really different kind of fun than playing my primary account. I mean, I enjoy both, but there's just this sense of there's so much progression happening that's not just ranking up weapons, trying to get to MR25. You know, it's I'm unlocking nodes. I'm you know, there's really a big sense of progress, even though the progress is slow. It's a very different sense of progress in the early game, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, exactly. And just for those that don't know you, Raven, of course, who aren't in our Discord, Raven is MR24 on PC, so he's an experienced player. So yeah, this is a very different account for him. He knows what it's like at the end game. So it's an interesting idea, and it was at first, I had a bit of a chuckle when you said you were going to do it, because I didn't think you were going to keep going for very long.
My goal is to at least get through The War Within. Yep. I'm not sure how much farther I'll go past that.
Fair enough.
Danny, who I play with almost every day, can't believe that I'm doing this. You know, it's like, how can you subject yourself to this again? And it's just fun. It's I'm the kind of guy that, like, when I play Minecraft, I like to start new worlds and start over more than I do play, you know, through the tail end of Minecraft.
Interesting. I don't have the patience for that. So we are different people.
I'm kind of addicted to it. But the other thing that I decided to do with this is I'm not spending any money on it. And I'm trying to figure out, you know, how does the beginning player earn plat when they can't farm much of anything?
So what are your thoughts on that so far?
It's really hard. Yeah. I'm farming generic relic parts and selling, quote, junk prime parts for pennies on the dollar, basically. Just trying to get enough to make a single, you know, potato purchase. And so that, when my kid played it without putting money into it, she sold her Iatans. And I'm like, you're selling your Iatans? Where are you getting Endo? Because my two Iatans that I've gotten so far have been incredibly precious because I need that Endo.
Yeah, mine is still precious.
Yeah. I mean, at least in the early game, you're not wanting to really put a lot of ranks into your 10 rank mods, because you can't fit it all in if you get them all too high.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
So I guess that kind of leads into Nightwave, which we haven't discussed at all. Is I wondered how does the early player deal with Nightwave? And my first week, I could do like two. Not counting the dailies, I could only do like two of the things, the acts. Yeah. This last week, I was able to do all but one of them, which was really cool. I didn't do the nightmare mission one. And I probably could do nightmare missions, but that was just, I didn't want to go there. ten nightmare missions is annoying when you're MR24.
Yeah.
But the thing that I really like was that front-loaded cred. That you get one Nightwave rank and you get 150 cred, which is two potatoes, or I've bought one potato and I'm holding on to the rest. Oh, I bought an Aura mod. Because that's something the game doesn't really tell you about, is that when you get an Aura mod, it increases your capacity. And you just have to learn that the first time you get an Aura mod. And when I played before, when we had alerts, Auras just popped up. You farmed them whenever they showed up, and they were easy to get. And now you have to make this choice between, I know what a reactor or a catalyst does, and I can buy that, or I can buy one of these Aura mods that I don't know if those are useful or not until I go ask somebody.
Yeah, it's a good point, actually. It used to just be that you'd do the alert and you'd get it, and then you'd find out that it was worthwhile doing.
Right.
Now you've got to make a choice, and you don't know. Didn't think of it that way.
And that, I think, is the hardest part about Nightwave, is they've taken all these things that were just catch-as-can and turned them into a choice. And that choice can be kind of difficult. You know, do you buy a potato? Do you buy Nitane? This early in the game, I don't need Nitane. I mean, I really haven't run into anything that wants Nitane yet. So I really don't want to waste my cred on that. But then after that, it starts giving me cosmetic type awards. And I'm like, I don't care about these. These are frustrating. Mm. You know, why am I grinding so hard for these boring cosmetics when what I want is more cred? Mm. That it's been interesting. But I also find that Nightwave, when you're in that early game and you're trying to clear the star chart and you're trying to get through the quests, Nightwave can be a real distraction because it's saying, go hunt down all these caches in sabotage missions. And it's like, you know, I need the materials. So running around the whole map and looking for all of them is good. There's some decent rewards when you're that level from the caches.
There's the dual stat mods.
If you're lucky, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got at least one of those. But even, you know, 50 endo, whoever thought I would be thrilled about getting 50 endo again, you know? And that's one thing where I feel like the rewards don't scale real well later in the game, that you're still getting these 50 endo rewards sometimes. And it's like, okay, well, endo is endo, but I need 5,000 endo, not 50, you know? So that's been an interesting contrast.
Yeah, just going back to the things that you can buy in the Nightwave store, have you at all been tempted to get yourself some Kuva yet?
No, I don't have a use for Kuva yet.
Fair enough.
Because I can't do sorties.
Yeah.
So I can't get Rivens, and there's nothing I need to craft that uses Kuva, so I haven't been tempted by it at all. The only things I'm really looking at is potatoes and the Aura mods. That's really the only thing I'm interested in. Because I don't need weapons yet. I don't, you know, those weapons I can get later. I don't need helmets, which I kind of miss because when I started previously, helmets were just alerts. I grabbed every helmet that came along because free cosmetics, you know? And now those cosmetics are part of that choice we were just talking about. It's do I buy something that helps me play the game, or do I buy a cosmetic? And it's like, well, fashion is end game. You know, it's not early game, not anymore.
What about Warframes? Because I mean, you get Vorben, you can buy more Vorben from the Nightwave store, but then what about like your other frames that you can farm? Have you really put in effort to farm any?
Now, see, that's a big difference between my previous account, because when I first started playing Warframe, I had never played a looter shooter. I didn't know how it worked. And so by the time I hit the second dream, I had a Rhino part, and I had a Mag part, and I had an X-Cal part, but I had one of each, because I didn't know you had to go back and farm these bosses to get this stuff. So I played all the way through the War Within with just my starter frame, and that was it.
Crap.
And as much as I enjoyed that experience, I'm like, I feel like I missed out on something. So here I am at MR4. I've got four frames in my foundry right now. I have Rhino, Mag, Nyx, because I went and farmed Forid, you know? It's like, I knew how to do it. I knew what you get out of it. And Forid, it wasn't that hard. I went and soloed Forid. So at MR3, I did not choose to go on the derelict, the infested derelict thing. That was a little much, but I could have. So, yeah. And I've got one more. Who is it? I'm trying to remember who you can get that early. I'm terrible at remembering who drops who.
Frost drops on Ceres.
I don't have Frost yet.
I
haven't farmed Frost.
Mag from Phobos.
Maybe I only have three. Rhino, Mag, and Nyx. Yeah, it looks like I only have three. Nyx. Okay.
Valkyr from Jupiter, Nova from Europa, Ember from Saturn.
Yeah, I haven't farmed those yet. And, oh gosh, that fight with Sargus Ruck.
I was a nightmare.
I made it through the first time, but if I did not know how to fight him, and I remember that from the first time around, fighting like Sargus Ruck is so hard when you can't figure out how it works.
Yeah.
I went down several times, but I managed to get through it, and I'm not ready to farm that one yet. But
no.
By the time I decided to farm Rhino, it wasn't hard. And I was kind of surprised. But some of that's because I know how to mod, you know, and with what limited mods I have, I know how to build a reasonable build on the Carrick that I can farm Jackal fairly easily.
Yeah.
So I was kind of thrilled with that. But here's the interesting thing, though. I was really frustrated that the first frame I got was Nyx. And I found out that of those three frames, Nyx, Mag, and Rhino, the two other than Rhino require neural sensors, which you can't get until Jupiter.
Ah, yes.
And so I'm sitting on this complete set of a frame I like to play, and I can't build it yet because I'm far, far from Jupiter.
Yeah.
So I got through Jupiter a couple days ago, yesterday, somewhere around there, and it's like, yay, I can start building these things. And then it's the 3-day wait, 3.5-day wait. And I remember that really frustrated me my last time through. But knowing how it works, I've become very zen about you put it in the foundry and you just go play the game. And someday it will surprise you with this finished frame. But when you're 9 days in, 3 days is a long time.
Yes. Yes.
And there's no way I'm spending plat to speed that up. So that's kind of been a little frustrating that I've got XCal completely ranked up. I would like to start on another frame, but I'm still 2 days away, to day and a half, something like that, from having another one. And the next difficult question is my second frame in my primary account was Rhino, and Rhino just carried me through the star chart. And it's like, on one hand, I would like a different experience, try something new. But on the other hand, Rhino is my safety blanket. I know I can get through the star chart with Rhino.
He's effective.
He is. I'm getting hammered. My first time on Jupiter, the corpus go down about as easily as the Grineer did, but they're hitting harder.
They do hit a lot harder.
And I'm going down so fast on Jupiter, and I'm like, ugh, now what, you know, what do I do? I don't know how to fix this. It's like, oh, well, I've got 8 spare capacity on XCal. Maybe I should think about my build again. A little extra shield, little extra health, that helped. But I'm doing a lot of hiding behind stuff because my shields are down.
Yeah.
Especially because I plowed through the planets to get to Uranus, and I'm kind of ahead of the curve.
Yes.
So I'm definitely dealing with a lot of the stuff that I see other early players dealing with. It's a balancing act of how much do you go back and farm previous content, trying to get mods you don't have, trying to rank stuff up. Do I put a Forma in my weapon and go back and rank it up again? Or, you know, I've got a derelict key. That was one of the requirements for the last junction I had to clear, is craft a derelict key. Doesn't say you have to go to the derelict, you just have to craft a key.
Yeah.
But that introduces you to the idea of the derelict. And that's one of those things that Warframe is very hit or miss with, is telling you something exists so that you can go check it out. Sometimes it forces you into stuff. You know, it says go crack a relic in order to clear this junction. So you have to learn how a Fisher mission works. But other times it just says, craft a key and you can go there if you want to. And sometimes it doesn't tell you about it at all. And it's just very inconsistent. But at the same time, I can see from the developer's point of view, there are a lot of things they have to teach a new player. And it's easy to miss it, I guess. And I'm sure you don't want to overwhelm the player with new stuff. But at the same time, I keep looking at some of this stuff and thinking they could work a little harder at it. You know, but I have noticed there are places where the Lotus tells you there's an email you get. And we had a discussion on the Discord at one point about whether this email is new or whether it existed back a year and a half ago when I started playing, that she tells you a whole long list of things to do, including clear the star chart and pursue the quests, which is kind of the common wisdom that, that other experienced players give new players, is those are the two things you want to focus on. And so you get this email that tells you, do this, says there are weapons in the market that you can buy blueprints for. It tells you that, which is one of the things that I was not clear on when I played. And I think some of it is, if that email existed, I read it and it didn't stick. And later, because it's got so much information in it, it's like a whole page, you know?
Yeah.
And there's so much of that that's happening that you're getting this info, but you forget about it because you're being inundated with so many different kinds of info. And I really feel like the quests or the requirements that say, go do this thing in order to progress are way more likely to stick than something you saw in an email from the Lotus.
Yeah, because like, thinking about it, I can't even remember this email at all. I think it may have popped up for me and I've just gone, it's close.
Yeah, I don't remember it either.
Yeah, and maybe it's new, and I really kind of wish I had a recording of all of the stuff I did before so that I could compare it. But see, that's one of the things that I find really interesting is listening to the veterans, especially the veterans who have been around for 5 or 6 years, and you know their beginning experience is not the same.
Oh, definitely not.
And they're recommending things or they're telling people how things are. And it's like, is that really how it is? You know, because do you misremember how it went? Did you never experience it? And we get a lot of help from especially long-term veterans. You know, they've got a lot of great wisdom. But clearly, like in this conversation on Reddit about being forced into Cetus, some of them were clearly wrong about that. That, you know, they said the game doesn't force you there. It's like, yeah, it really does. You know, it doesn't tell you to stay, but it does tell you to go there. You know, that's really where I've been with this whole thing is trying to review what it is new players experience when I've got that mindset of keeping track of what you need to know, what people are likely to miss, what the game doesn't actually tell you, because there are quite a few things it doesn't tell you that it really should.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of looking forward to this. You know, we've got our new cinematic intro, and I'm hoping they revamp some of the early game and fix some of this stuff. That's what I'm really hoping they do. I'm kind of considering putting together a little checklist of things and handing it to DE and saying, you know, I replayed the beginning. Here's all the things I feel like you didn't cover properly.
Fix your shit, DE.
And maybe they'll pay attention. Maybe they won't. You know, DE's kind of random about that. But they've got so much to keep track of. You think about how complex the game is. They have to think about how do we introduce all this stuff and how do we not overwhelm the player? And it's a big job. And, you know, I recognize that. I'm a software developer. I know what it's like to develop software and how hard it is to teach users how to use a new piece of software that has a lot of complicated features.
Yeah, especially with the changes over, it's been 6 years now. They've added so many different things and, you know, the introduction to the game has not been able to keep up. And I think that's really the main issue. So
I agree. 'Cause that it's evolved and the early game, it's like that piece of software I build that we keep adding features to it, but it really needs someone to go back and redesign it. And integrate all those features properly. And so
that's what they're going to do.
I'm hoping it's more than just the cinematic intro and we kind of massage it a little. I'd like to see a really good rework of the early game, but that also touches a lot of things. They can't afford to change everything.
Exactly.
I'm looking forward to it. And what's really kind of scary is I'm afraid that when the new player experience gets released, I'm going to do this again.
Well, I know I am. I'm probably going to go back and jump in and check it. I probably won't do as deep as you've done it, but
no.
Definitely need to replay and see what they did. Yeah. So I guess that's a good point to sort of, because we've come around in a big circle back to where we started now.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess it's a good point to close out the discussion at this stage. But if you've got anything you'd like to say from your experiment as a final sign off,
new players should go see Samaras right away. He is available at MR1, and he rewards you with Endo. Go see Samaras.
There's a good tip right there.
Ta-da! Damn.
Endo is friggin' so important, so I gotta suggest that that's probably one people should be listening to. Lucas, from your experience with playing the start of the game again, do you have a final thing to say?
Do what Raven did and get rid of the Mark 1 weapons and buy some decent ones.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And all I can say is I really, like Raven has said, I really hope they rework the start of the game, because I think it's turning people off that the start of the game is more painful than the rest of the game actually is. And the start of the game should really reflect the game as a whole. I'm not sure it absolutely does at the moment, so I'm hoping that when that new game experience comes out, it does a little bit better reflect the rest of the game. So that's where I'm at. Alrighty, so I guess we'll say thank you to Raven for joining us, and we will be, of course, continuing this discussion and many more on the Discord. So thank you for stopping by.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Indeed. Alrighty, so thank you so much to Raven. We really had a very lengthy conversation, as you can see, but it was really in-depth. We explored a lot of different things. Raven has obviously thought about this in great detail, and we really appreciate his analytical mind, I guess is the way of looking at it. Because, yeah, there was a few things he brought up in that discussion that hadn't even come across my mind, so that was really good.
It was an absolute pleasure to talk with Raven. There was a lot to consider. He even surprised me with a few things, so that was good.
Yeah, there were a few things that was like, interesting. But the beginner game hopefully will be getting a rework in however many months. It really needs one. It desperately needs one, in my opinion. I mean, clearly people are still playing the game and they love the game and they're getting into the game, but it takes people more than one try, I've found. Took me 3. Anyway.
Yeah.
All right. So on to our beginner and advanced topics. I decided to do things a little bit different this week because last week the episode we did was very, very community-based, so I wanted to do it again this week. It was really well received, so I kind of misled Discord. So I told Discord that I was going to be doing a top 5 beginner's tips discussion as a beginner topic, and I gave them a list of what I thought was a potential top 5. But really what I wanted to do was to get people to respond with what they think is the most damned important thing for beginners to learn. And that's what they did. So I'm calling this, in capital letters, Top 5 Beginner Tips According to Discord.
And there's 7 of them.
There's 7 of them. Yes, because, you know, it's all about that clickbait. It made me laugh when I wrote it. Anyway, so the first is from the man Raven himself, and this one isn't actually a tip, but it made me laugh, so I put it in there. And he said, man, 5 most important, a difficult, a complex game involves a lot of tips. And I do agree with that. I didn't disagree. I kind of did. I went back to him and said, yeah, we've done a lot of tips. Let's consolidate. But that was just me laughing. So, on the actual tips, we had one from J100, who said, the number one thing I would recommend to a new player is to learn how affinity and mastery rank works. And this is really important because you need to learn how to level up your weapons. And that was part of the what we were discussing with Raven as well, about how hard it is to level early weapons, what you need to do in order to do that. So, of course, new players, you've got affinity per weapon and per Warframe, and of course you've got mastery rank, which is account wide, and in order to grow your mastery you need to fully rank your weapons and warframes up to rank 30. So keep that in mind. We have had a whole episode or a whole beginner topic about that early in the series. If you'd like to see what that is, type in affinity and podcast on cephalonsquared.com and you should be able to track it down. The next one was from Doug, old Your Master 145 himself, and also one of our mods. He said a couple of things, but the one thing that I thought I would share from there is that there are a few weapons that you can buy using only credits, and that is the Bratton, the Aklato, the Lato, the Lex, and the Sicarus. So you can find these that you can buy outright just using credits. The next was from Tremanth, who is often asking us questions and very helpful. What Tremanth has said is, it's probably too simple, but without getting into the minutiae of damage, simply, impact for Corpus, puncture for Grineer, changed my gameplay experience and made Venus a breeze. I was using Bratton and thought Corpus were yucky bullet sponges. So this is an interesting tip, and that is to say, something we haven't really focused terribly on yet. We've talked about damage types, but we haven't talked about what damage types apply to what enemies. So he's right. Impact works best against Corpus. Puncture works best against Grineer, and Slash works best against the Infested. And this is important for early game. It's less important in the late game when you've got elemental damage, and that's where things change again. Because then you're looking at radiation for Corpus, corrosive for Grineer, and viral.
Fire?
And fire, yes, for the Infested. So
burn it all down.
Yeah, early in the game, if you've got a puncture weapon like Bratton and you're shooting the Corpus with it, you might think, why is it doing so well against these Grineer guys, but not so well against Corpus? And that's why. Because of the damage type that is most used on that weapon. Great tip, thanks, Tremanth. Stoic has a very similar tip, and that is, it depends how basic each tip needs to be, but I think the basics of modding would be really helpful. So, for example, put plus damage, plus multi-shot, and plus elemental on everything. That's a great tip, a really basic tip. Damage, multi-shot, elemental should be important for virtually every single weapon in the game. If it's got a crit chance of more than 20%, then add plus crit chance and crit damage mods. If it's got a status chance of over 20%, then add status chance. I would much rather have that tip than weapons you can get from the market, which is one of the top five that I had. Another really great tip, and really simply put as well. Damage, multi-shot, and elemental on everything. If it's a crit weapon, crit chance, crit damage. If it's a status weapon, status chance. Beautiful. Next is from Wooshy. Wooshy says, keep in mind while playing that you'll be able to farm for platinum in the future. You don't need to spend money, so don't get scared of the prices of cosmetics in the market. When you do look at stuff in the market, you go, wow, 300 platinum. Yeah, it's not that bad later on in the game when you can farm for stuff fairly easily and sell them to other players for platinum. And tip number five is from Crick, who got in just at the last second and said, I think you need to put in, do I need to spend real money in the game or maybe having fun before farming? Or why are you here? That is, what brought you to Warframe in the first place? And that's an interesting thing to say. And I think he's got a good point, because what brought you to Warframe in the first place is you just wanted to have fun. So enjoy yourself before you start getting too confused, and don't stress out over not knowing certain things. And I think that's something that I don't want to call myself a veteran because some people really love that title, that we longer term players in the game should keep in mind when we're bringing up our new friends. Don't rush them through things. Let them have fun. Just because you think those early missions in the game are boring does not mean that your friend who's just started playing the game thinks it's boring. I think that's important too. And the first question, do you need to spend real money in the game? No, you don't. It helps, but no, you don't. Absolutely not. So, thank you to the Discord for sharing your top seven beginner tips that you think are most important. There were a couple of really, really good ones in there. So thank you to everyone for joining in, and I'll do something like this every couple of weeks to have like a community beginner tip. So, yeah, sorry for being stealthy. Lucas, advanced topic.
Advanced topic. All right. Eximus. Introduced in Update 12.0, the Eximus were first referred to as leader units. These leader units are of an elite category of enemies and as such possess special benefits. One such benefit is that an Eximus will spawn 10 to 15 levels higher than the level expectations of the node average, in addition to receiving one of several abilities and stat resistance boosts for all the added survivability. Now, while most units can appear in an Eximus variation, certain unit types may only spawn as specific Eximus. A good example is that infested charges may only spawn as parasitic Eximus. So today we will explore the several ability types so that you know what to expect when next you come face to face with a leader unit. Starting off with Blitz. Blitz units are specifically of Corpus design, and as such you will only ever see them in this faction. The attack of the Blitz Eximus is a seismic shockwave which is used to knock down their enemies. This unit type has an innate 50% resistance increase to all damage types. Yay! Actually, should just throw this in now. All Eximus have an innate 50% resistance to all damage types. Yay! Next, we have the Energy, Leech, and Parasitic. Parasitic Eximus is a unit of annoyance with the ability to siphon energy from a player within 15 meters at a 5 energy per second rate. Units of the infestation that possess this trait are referred to as parasitic, whilst Grineer and Corpus are called energy leech. If you thought we were done with this unit type, then you are sorely mistaken, as these units receive a plus 300% boost to their base health and shield alongside the 50% damage resistance. So that is fan-frickin-tastic. Next, we have the Arson and Caustic enemies. The Arson and Caustic Eximus units give off a fire-resistant aura to their allies within close proximity. This completely nullifies any and all fire damage, and even goes as far to nullify the fire damage aspect of combined damage types. For example, if you're hitting them with Blast, it will nullify the fire in the Blast, turning it specifically to cold damage. Units of this nature have access to a concussive fire blast that deals damage and knockdown, but cannot cause heat proc, strangely enough. This wall of fire can greatly damage sentinels, so be wary of close combat, as that is the time in which these units will let loose. A well-timed roll or melee guard can protect you from the concussive effect. Again, 50% increase to damage resistance is to be expected. And for the most part, you will only encounter these units from the infested and Grineer, with the exception of a single Corpus enemy that's only encountered during Arcwing missions. Guardians are the next one, and they are exclusive to Corpus, with shield increases and the ability to recover the shield of their allies. Simply buffed. Much like the others, these proxies gain a 50% damage resistance. The Arctic Eximus is one of the more advanced enemy types with a significant amount of benefits, starting with their cold-resistant aura that nullifies all cold damage, much like their fiery counterpart, Blast Becomes Heat. But this aura has more to it. In addition to the cold nullifier effect, this aura lets off a continuous cold proc, reducing movement and attack speed that ignores status immunity abilities. And this aura is stackable, so there's multiple, you're screwed. Next, these cold-hearted foes have the ability to conjure their own snow globe that acts very much the same as the one Frost uses, with the biggest difference being that theirs follows them. If you are patient enough, though, this snow globe also runs on a duration, so you may avoid ammo consumption. With a few additional cold-based attacks, the Arctic Elsa has a 50% resistance increase, and mainly of Grineer and Corpus faction. Special side note, a Napalm Arctic Eximus will proc cold on enemies, or on Tenno, and once combined with the heat from their flamethrowers, it will turn into a blast proc, so be very, very careful of Arctic Napalms. Next we have the Leech and Sanguine. Leech to the Grineer, Sanguine to the Infested. This Eximus type restores its health by damaging its enemies, simply lifesteal. And again, has a 50% damage resistance, but also comes with a 300% boost to health and shield. Yay! Then we have the Shock Eximus. These units give off an electricity aura that nullifies shock damage of all types, including that which is combined with another type. Again, same as what we had before. The electricity status proc will also be in effect up to 5 meters around the unit, and if a Tenno is within 2 meters, they will take damage over time till the unit is either dead or out of range. Built to last yet again, innate 50% damage resistance, woo! And finally, we have the Venomous unit, which gives off a toxic aura that nullifies all forms of toxin damage in the same sense of the other elemental auras. Most commonly found as an infested enemy, the venomous Eximus can attack with toxin damage alongside having a continuous 10-meter radius of toxin proc that lasts for 8 seconds and deals substantial damage over time dependent on enemy level. And you guessed it, 50% damage resistance boost. For the most part, these are the biggest hitting units you'll have to deal with. However, there are also a number of mission-specific Eximus, and they are synthesis targets for Samaras, prosecutors of Ceres, wardens of rescue missions, sensor regulators in sorties, and Orican spectators in Lua's spy. The bonus damage resistance on Eximus units caps out at 90% of damage of a damage type, and all Eximus also possess a 40% true damage resistance for that added bit of fun. Now, while they can be a pain, they are not unkillable, so start by knowing your enemy.
Very good. That was a good topic, Lucas.
Yay!
Good choice. I'm surprised we hadn't thought of it before.
Yeah, I was actually quite surprised to learn about the elemental damage nullifiers.
It makes sense, though, now that you think about it.
Yes. Yeah.
All right, very good, very good. And, of course, that will eventually be going up on the website. I say eventually because, oh, my God, the backlog is huge.
Backlog.
Keeps getting longer. But that's good. It's all good content. So looking forward to popping it up there when I can. All right, moving right along. Now we're heading into
Love Letters to Disco Box.
All right, so this one was sent to Disco Box by a gentleman called Zin and the Art.
Oh, Disco Box, your voice is smoother than the jello pudding of my childhood.
I'm guessing that's a good thing.
Oh, wow.
And it is true. It is true. So I think I've now read out all of the love letters to Disco Box that were in my backlog, which means we've got none, which is a bit sad because I don't want to have no love letters to Disco Box next week. So please get on out there, get onto Twitter, send a message to @disco_box and tell him how much you love his voice. Absolutely. And copy on Cephalon Squared or just use #CephalonSquared so that we know about it, because this is really important. It's important that he knows how we feel about his voice. I'm just tearing up a little bit here. It's beautiful. All right. On to the community call out. Little bit of a reviews update. There was another US review, so thank you to that person over in the US who gave us an additional review there. Plus, there was a couple on CastBox, which brings our total now up to 89, which is exciting. Ooh. We only need 11 more before we need to do our next live cast, which is a lot of fun. I'm really looking forward to it. If you missed out on the last one, it was episode 50. I didn't record it, actually, so it didn't end up going up on YouTube. Sad panda.
Sad panda.
But anyway, that's life. Episode 50, let's do it. We had a lot of fun. Would you like to read out the iTunes review?
I shall. iTunes Oz. By Cryek. Nice work, lads. 5 stars. Having only just discovered the joy that is Warframe after a long time in the darkness, I must say you guys are amazing. Also helps that you are both Aussies. Smiley face. New convert, and I am looking forward to going back through your mini-eps to get the info on various Warframes.
Thanks, Crick. Crack, however you want to say your name.
Yay!
We appreciate it. And you only joined the Discord yourself a week or two ago, and you've also been pretty active there as well, so thank you for your support. Right back at ya. Yeah, and yeah, the darkness is okay. I'm looking forward to Shadowkeep on Destiny 2. Not sure how much I'll play it, but I'm looking forward to it. I was a massive Destiny fan. I feel ya, brother. All right, quick question, Cephalon Queer. Oh wait, don't we have a song for that?
We do, yes.
How does it go?
Cephalon question time. Something like that.
Right. I can't remember. It changes every week, I think.
Yeah.
This one is from Cannibal Kiwi. Would you like to see more retro minigames tucked away in the Warframe universe? Hell yes.
Yes.
I don't play them a lot, but I enjoy them. They make me laugh. Actually, I'd like to. I just discovered, this is something I didn't know, Lucas. I don't know if you knew. You can actually finish Wormius and Happy Zephyr, or whatever it's called. Is it called Happy Zephyr? Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
You can actually finish them, and if you finish them, you get a poster to put up in your ship.
What?
Yes.
Don't tell me that.
just learned that. I know definitely you get that for Wormius because Pablo said it on Twitter. I did not know that for Happy Zephyr, so I haven't confirmed it, but I'm pretty sure if you get it for Wormius, you must get it for that.
God damn it.
So now I'm going to have to go play it and get it. So, quickly, what kind of retro minigame would you like to see in the Warframe universe?
Okay. So, this one I've actually, like, literally just thought of on the spot. Mm-hmm. All right. But basically, a Donkey Kong rework, like the old school Donkey Kong,
mm-hmm.
with your little plumber Mario. And basically, your little plumber is, I don't know, a Warframe of some variety.
Mm-hmm.
Screw it. Let's actually just say Clem. And cool, the yeah. Donkey and the Donkey Kong at the top is Sargus Rook in his giant turkey form.
Yep, I like it.
Sargus Rook? No, not Sargus Rook. Vahek in his giant turkey form.
I like it. That could be good. The one I was thinking of is Rampage. I'd like to see Rampage in there so you can have Chroma. God, I can't think of any others to put in there.
Gauss, the giant robot.
Yeah, so Chroma for Lizzie, Gauss for the robot. What about George the Wolfman?
Wolfman, that'd be a bit tricky. Yeah, Valkyrie.
Yeah, that'll do.
And I'm sure there was one more. Wukong.
Yeah, Wukong, that'd be nice.
Yeah.
And just get them climbing through towers and eating people. Be great.
Yep. I like it. Works.
Works for me. But seriously, any old retro minigames that Dee wants to think of and throw into the game, I will definitely play. I love them. I just think they're silly and dumb, and I've played them for like 5 minutes in total, but I still love them. All right, but I need to get those posters down.
Now I need a Happy Zephyr poster. I hate Happy Bird. I hate Flappy Bird.
I am not a massive fan of Flappy Bird either, but hey, Happy Zephyr. Happy. Happy, happy. Joy, joy. All right, I want a Wormius poster. That's what I want. I love my sci-fi. Anyway, that brings us to the end of episode 61. We hope you enjoyed it this week. A little bit of a retrospective, kind of. Hence the retro minigames. Topical. If you'd like to get in contact with us for any reason, if you'd like to make any suggestions, if you'd like us to ask us to cover anything on the show, whatever you like, head on over to cephalonsquared.com. There is a contact us page. Otherwise, you can send an email to cephalonsquared@gmail.com. Or if you'd just like to join the collective, cephalonsquared.com has the links to our Discord and our Facebook pages. Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, all of that fun stuff, and Twitch. If you'd like to support us, go to cephalonsquared.com/support, where you can see the ways that you can help us keep the show going. And on that note, I guess we should thank our patrons.
Let's do it.
All right. Thank you to Rathok.
Thank you, Wolfsbane.
Thanks, Jellybean1799.
Thank you, Adok_88.
Thanks, Einself1000.
Thank you, Lord Frieson.
Thanks, Logan Neal.
Thank you, Danathan.
Thank you, Solarian.
And thank you, ObsoleteNinja13.
Indeed. Thank you to all of you for helping support the podcast and all of the other content that we make so that we can make it better and we can improve. If you'd like to support, as I said, reach out to cephalonsquared.com/support. Otherwise, simply sharing us, giving us a rating on your podcast platform, joining in on our community, all of that stuff helps us grow and helps us be a better community. So thank you to you as well. And thank you to Jan at @disco_box on Twitter for the intro and outro, as always. Who am I? I didn't do that bit, did I, Lucas?
No, you didn't.
My name is Greg Newbegin. I am Mad Capsules all over the place. Who are you, Lucas?
I am Lucas Silvestri, and I am Silverlight all over the place. SILVRLGHT. Love the community. You know, it just keeps getting better and better. And I can't really say any more about you guys because you're just amazing. So, massive, massive thank you to our lovely, glorious community.
Absolutely. I second his wonderful sentiments. And we're Cephalon Squared. Thank you for listening to another episode. We'll be back in a few more days with... Who's next?
Gauss.
Oh, yeah, we're doing Gauss.
Gauss.
Written the article. It may not be Gauss, unless you want to write the article.
If I find time, yeah, I can do it.
Gauss. Okay. We're saying Gauss, so it's probably going to be Gauss, but we'll see. Anyway, thanks for listening. We'll see you soon.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Cephalon Squared. If you'd like to contact us, reach out via our website at cephalonsquared.com, where you can find us via email, Facebook, Twitter, or Discord. But don't fret, there'll be more Cephalon Squared in a few short days. So don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode.